We're looking at $1,600 per primary residence tax credit, in addition to a 3% cap that's been worked on all session. And I'll say that in looking at this issue, the tax structure, when you talk about cities, counties, townships, and school districts, and trying to figure that all out, it's a complex situation. So, but I think that between the Finance and Tax Committee on the House side, the Finance and Tax Committee on the Senate side, and leadership on both chambers are really focused heavily on this being the number one issue. And I'm really pleased at the package that's been being put together. And I think Governor Armstrong will sign it at $1,600 per primary resident. So pretty excited about that.
There had been an argument from the Senate side of you got to keep some skin in the game and nobody should get to zero property taxes. Is that argument over?
Yeah, we did reach a consensus that there'd be no skin in the game going forward. And one of the reasons that, you know, we felt the way that we did on this and other issues was that these dollars would come from the legacy fund. So at the end of the day, as dollars increase, as earnings increase over time, and I believe there'll be about $130 million more next session that could be allocated for this. So it doesn't mean that next session we're going to go from 1,600 to 1,900 or 2,100. And with that growth over years and years and years, that number should continue to grow. So I think the citizens of North Dakota should be excited about this, not only for the dollar amount, but the caps that are in place and the growing potential for higher tax credits in the future based on earnings growth in the legacy fund.
Part of me says the very first day of the legislature, there was a State of the State address that suggested pretty close to that amount and the
right,
caps.
Right.
And it literally has taken till the 11th hour. I get that's the whole legislative process, but why did it take this long to get here?
Well, at the end of the day, when we came here, legislators had over $9 billion worth of asks. So that was a monumental task to figure out which ones are the priorities. And did we get them all right? I wouldn't say we did 100%, but I think we did pretty well when it comes to funding a variety of projects, water, infrastructure, K-12, university system, I mean, it goes on. That at the end of the day, I think we did a pretty good job. But you always have to look at the general fund balance, the strategic investment fund, which is a huge fund for the state of North Dakota. And where does that all match up? So as you get closer to the end of the session, you have to continue to work with legislative council. Where are we at on this project, on this agency? Where are we at on that agency? Where are we at on this project? And as we get to the end, it does take until the very end as these budgets start to pass. And then you see what is allocated for that. That becomes a final number. And then you know where you're at in the general fund and you know where you're at in the CIF.
What else would you say maybe that hasn't gotten the attention it should? Some things that you're most proud of out of this session?
Well, there's quite a few, but a couple of them that I would put forward is that the Dozier Committee bill that was brought forward by Representative Nathan Thoman from Mandan. I think it's important for the citizens to understand that we're going to look into budgets deeper and deeper. We're here 80 days every 2 years. But I think we're going to make a concentrated effort at looking into budgets, looking for efficiencies, looking for cuts to make sure we're being as efficient as we can with the taxpayer dollar. That's got me really excited. The cash management task force that's being set up, working with the Bank of North Dakota, task force members, including legislators, the governor, and so forth, to increase the returns on the investments of the state's dollars. I think that's going to be a big deal. So when you look at the potential of $100 million, $200 million, $300 million of increased revenue over 2, 3, 5 years and even higher as time goes on, and the cuts that I think will happen with DOGE, those things are good long-term legislation that I think will be transformational and become a bigger deal as time goes on.
Another one that I've been watching on that front hasn't got a lot of attention in news cycles, but is the pipeline that ultimately has been discussed now for quite a while, knowing we have stranded natural gas in the west and trying to get that to the east. There's been a lot of discussion about data center development. We're in a bit of an arms race against other states to get the electricity necessary, which obviously comes from natural gas done. 11th hour, there's been some wrangling on whether or not that additional capacity happens or not. Talk about the importance of that project.
Well, I will. And we're still visiting with Senate leadership on that, still discussions to be continued. But I think it's a really important economic development project in as far as the state is concerned. If you look at we have restrictions on natural gas production because we're flaring it because we can only have so much natural gas in terms of oil. But as oil production, if it at some point starts to go down because of those restrictions, we need to have natural gas pipelines to make sure that the natural gas flows, and then we can keep our production where it is and more likely go up by 200,000, 300,000 barrels per day. So I think it's a very important idea for the future. It's still where that these companies need to come together to determine how they're going to move this product. But on we do believe that the capacity and that type of thing is very important to the future of the state.